Hey everyone, it's Cardiff. There have been 4 global recessions in roughly the last 4 decades. And getting out of the last global recession, the one right after the financial crisis of 2008, was especially brutal. That was such a deep and a painful recession that jumpstarting the economy again required policies that had not been tried before. Tried in countries across the world, not just in the U.S., but a lot of those policies were politically unpopular, and they still are. And it's not clear that they'll be used again. And we don't know when the global economy will fall into recession again. But as surely as day turns into night, eventually it will. And so the question then is, will policymakers in the U.S. and other countries have the will to implement whatever policies are necessary to revive their economies? Today on The Indicator from Planet Money, I speak with Ryan Avent of The Economist. He just finished a long report on this very topic. And hey, Ryan, not the most uplifting writing you've ever done, I gotta say.
No, I admit it's a bit of a downer. But, you know, it's the sort of thing that you really have to focus on, keeping your mind so that we're prepared for it. But I apologize for the
It's like a bit of a pessimism. Downer now so that we prevent, like, a much bigger downer later
exactly. It's a good way to think about it.
Okay, well, after the break, we discuss how prepared the world is for the next economic downturn.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Season 2 of Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Hosted by Katie Milkman, Choiceology reveals the hidden psychological forces that can lead people to make expensive mistakes. Listen at schwab.com/podcast. Support also comes from Capital One. Capital One's indicator is zero because they offer accounts with zero fees or minimums, and they offer accounts that can be opened from anywhere in 5 minutes. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Capital One NA.
Okay, Ryan, here's where I want to start in discussing whether or not the global economy will be able to fend off another recession. I think normally before the last recession, the way economists used to think about this was the economy is not doing well, it looks like a recession is coming, and so central banks would start to lower interest rates. And in doing so, they would make it cheaper to borrow money. Your argument is that that might not work as well the next time there's a recession. Can you tell us why?
Sure. Well, you're absolutely right. Like, we're all used to, you know, when things start to look a little sour, you know, Alan Greenspan or Ben Bernanke or whoever coming to the rescue, you know, knocking down interest rates a little bit and getting the economy going again. You know, the problem that we face, not just in the United States, but really all over the world, is that over the last 30 years, interest rates have crept ever farther downward. And so very early on during the global financial crisis, central banks around the world cut their interest rates all the way to zero. And once you hit zero, it's really difficult to go much below that. You can go a little bit into negative territory, but funny stuff starts to happen with the banks then.
Yeah, and also because at 0%, it is literally free to borrow money. So if that's not working,
if that's not doing the trick,
weird.
Right, exactly. What we would have hoped would have happened is that we have the global recession, then growth springs back really quickly, and so then central banks are able to kind of reload the gun, right, and put interest rates back up so they'll have room to cut them in the next downturn. Unfortunately, growth over the last decade has been so weak that they really haven't been able to do that. And so even in the U.S., where rates have gone up more than elsewhere, we're still only at around 2%. And that's just not enough to get the economy going again when the next storm comes.
Okay, so monetary policy might essentially be out of firepower. Let's now talk about fiscal policy. This is when the government either spends money to get the economy going again, or it gives people money back in tax cuts and hopes that they spend the money and that gets the economy going again. Will fiscal policy be available to fight the next recession?
Well, technically, it will be available, right? It will be an option there for governments. Most governments can borrow at super, super cheap rates. And so it's not a huge deal for them, technically, to think about adding a little bit of deficit spending and injecting that money into the economy. The problem is that to really get a big fiscal boost, you know, you've got to have people in the legislature saying, all right, we think this is important. We're going to pass this law. We're going to pass this infrastructure bill. If you look in the U.S., it's kind of perverse that we've been running bigger deficits over the past couple years because right now the economy is sort of in good shape. But those deficits are pushing up the amount of debt that the U.S. government has. So when the next recession comes around, some people are going to be saying, you know what? we really can't afford this. And I don't think that's right. I think the government can afford it. But that political argument is going to be a lot more salient the next time around.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you're saying that because governments have more debt now, that they'll be reluctant to take out more debt again when there's a recession to spend. And it kind of leads me into my next question, which is, what about the debt that like people and companies have? In other words, people and companies in the private sector debt as opposed to government debt, how does that influence the ability to fight the next recession?
Well, it's another really big issue, right? Because as we said before, the way that a lot of this stimulus policy works is by encouraging people to go out and borrow and buy that car now. But if households or if companies are already really in debt, then it's going to be much less attractive for them to add to that debt pile. And I think, you know, one thing that's been really extraordinary over the past decade in the U.S. and elsewhere is how much companies have borrowed. And in the U.S., it's really strange because companies have been super profitable for the most part. But they've taken on several $1 trillion in new debt. And so, you know, how much is the Fed or the government going to be able to do to encourage them to borrow more the next time around?
So if companies have been profitable, what are they doing with all the debt they're taking out? Why aren't they just spending their profits instead of borrowing money?
Well, they are returning profits to shareholders. You know, we've talked a lot in this country about what it means that companies are doing stock buybacks or passing huge dividend plans when instead they might be using that money to make new investments, to expand hiring. I think that's really what we would like them to be doing.
Let's talk about international politics, though, because that also plays a role in the global economy. What should we know about the state of international political relations and how that might contribute to not being able to fight the next downturn?
Well, I think it's there where you really start to worry about how things are going to play out the next time. During the financial crisis in 2007, 2008, 2009, there really was a lot of cooperation between governments in a way that really helped things from being a lot worse. So governments sort of agreed to all do fiscal stimulus plans. They agreed not to put up tariffs on each other's imports. And because of that, you know, things were a lot better than they ought to have been. What we've seen over the last decade is that relations across the world have really deteriorated, and particularly in the last 2 years or so.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Ryan, one last question, because in your article, you propose a number of different solutions for fighting the next recession. Some of these solutions would be unprecedented, and some of them would be expanded versions of ideas that have been tried. But they all relate to one thing that you write in the piece. Here's what you write. Recessions occur where there is too little spending to keep an economy's resources from falling idle. Can you explain the importance of that sentiment?
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So, you know, when you think about the economy, you know, what you spend is someone else's income. And so when there's bad economic news around, people become nervous and they don't spend as much. That means that people's incomes also shrink and you get caught in this nasty, you know, vicious circle. And the job of policymakers is to break that cycle and by injecting more money into the economy. The trouble is that, you know, this becomes much more politically challenging to do than you would think. That's really the crux of the issue. That's why we might get into trouble next time, is because we can't figure out how to shovel enough money into the economy.
I also want to emphasize the human consequences of what you're talking about, because people that could be doing productive work, going unemployed, having their skills erode, perhaps their contacts falling away, and going through like the brutal psychological trauma of unemployment. And so this is something that really, really matters. Resources falling idle matters a lot for the way people experience their lives.
Yes. I mean, we've got good research that shows that if you graduate from college, for instance, in the middle of a downturn, you know, there is a scarring effect that follows you for decades. And, you know, we sort of see the flip side of this now with unemployment at 3.7%. Companies have to work harder to recruit people. They're willing to hire people who may have, you know, been arrested in the past or don't have a college education. In a downturn, you get the opposite effect. And people just aren't able to develop their individual potential. It creates all sorts of hardships for families, for communities. And I think we really underappreciate the extent to which, you know, a slightly elevated unemployment rate causes a lot of human damage that lasts long after the recession is over.
All right, well, it's a really important article. We'll put a link to it up on the website at npr.org/money. Ryan, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, Cardiff.